believe this family is going to have a great impact. Amen. Not just in Papua New Guinea, but wherever they go. They've been dear friends to me over the years and been a blessing to me, and I know they're going to be a blessing wherever they wind up over there. And, we sure going to be praying for you, Brother Doug. We appreciate you and your family. Love you so much. If you would, take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. Be a little different this morning. You're going to get a Wednesday night on a Sunday morning. Y'all be all right with that? For some of you who don't come to church on Wednesday night, we figured we'd just switch it up a little bit. Amen. Keep your Bibles out for a few minutes this morning. We're going to turn and look at several verses of Scripture. I started two Wednesday nights ago and started talking about the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And we started off, and I just thought maybe I'd preach one message about it, and it just keeps growing on me. And I started off that two Wednesday nights ago and talked about what we do in the Spirit. And we talked about how a lot of people use the Holy Spirit as an excuse for their actions and what they do and how they act and even sometimes how they worship. And I'm afraid sometimes what people say the Spirit led them to do was not the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? We said the Spirit would never lead you contrary to the Word of God. Amen. The Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. If you don't have a verse to back up what the Spirit is leading you to do, I doubt it's Him. Okay, we all right? We'll just make some little statements right quick and kind of bring you up to where we are. And what we said, what we do in the Spirit, we're not slain in the Spirit and all that crazy stuff. We don't flop like a fish out of water. But what we do is we live in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We worship in the Spirit. We work in the Spirit. We witness in the Spirit. We talked about all those things we need the Spirit of God in our lives to do. You ever tried to live for God without Him? Come on, talk to me. Have you ever tried to live for God? I wasn't saved till I was 19. I got saved at 19 years old on a New Year's Eve. You know the story. I'd been in church all my life. Did you know what? It is impossible to live for God without the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. And then this past Wednesday night, we talked about who the Spirit of God is. Who He is. He's a person. He's not a thing. Amen. He is a real person. He's part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are three, but they are one. We talked about who the Spirit of God is. We said, I don't remember what all we said, but this morning I want to talk about what the Holy Spirit does. What the Holy Spirit does. There's some of this will seem to be a little bit repetitive, but you'll be okay. John chapter number 16, did I tell you to turn there? Won't you look with me at verse number 7. If you're there, say amen. Amen. John chapter 16 and verse number 7. The Lord said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." By the way, if He's speaking, it is the truth. He said, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." Now somebody tell me good and loud who that Comforter is. That is the Holy Ghost of God. He said, "If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more." And verse number 11 said, "Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now this morning, just for a few minutes, I want to talk about what the Holy Spirit does. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, or I don't want to make anybody mad. But a lot of this stuff you see on TV that they claim is the Holy Ghost is not the Holy Ghost at all. I remember several years ago, a movement that was popular was laughing churches. Anybody ever seen that? Nobody ever saw that. That's what they call them. Several people have. They call them laughing churches. They'll sing a little bit and have some type of praise and worship or whatever. And then the preacher will come to the pulpit. He doesn't read the Bible. He just starts laughing. It's like one of the, y'all remember the little doll, the little clown, when you shake it, it had that hysterical laughter. And it kind of sweeps the, and you can watch it move across the congregation. And these people just bust out into laughter. And before you know it, people are just holding their guts, laying in the floor, laughing. And they say that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. We okay? Y'all wake up this morning. That's not the Holy Spirit. That is an evil spirit. Amen. We watch these people and these antics that they do on television where they blow on somebody. If your breath's so bad people fall over when you breathe on them, you got a problem. Amen, amen, amen. They blow on people and they fall out on the floor and they shake. Listen, if God was in that, they wouldn't have to cover a lady up with a sheet to keep her from being indecent. We okay? I'm talking about things the Holy Spirit does not do. Amen. He does not. God is not the author of confusion. Understand that. But for a few minutes this morning, I want to talk about what the Holy Spirit does do, what He in fact does in His people, through His people, inside the worship service, in life in general as we go about in our daily lives, what the Holy Spirit does. Number one, I want you to look again at verse number 8, and then we'll turn to a scripture in Acts chapter number 2. But I want you to look at verse number 8. The Bible said, and when He has come, He will, say the word with me, reprove. What's that word mean? It means to correct, doesn't it? To reprove. You ever been corrected? I don't like it. There's something about my nature that does not like saying, somebody looking at me and saying, you're wrong. That's wrong. That's not right. That's why these super churches, these lovey-dovey, touchy-feely bunch of crowds sit around and sing Kumbaya. Preachers with no pulpits and preachers who don't wear a suit and a tie. They come in a golf shirt and they don't preach. They just give a little motivational speech and everybody leaves and goes, oh, that was wonderful. You know why? Because that's what our flesh loves. Our flesh loves to be told how good it is. Amen. We would rather believe a lie than to hear the truth. Paul said, I know that within me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Amen. He said when He has come, in verse number 8, that He would reprove the world of, say the word with me. Ooh, that's a bad word, ain't it? And of righteousness and of judgment. The very first thing the Holy Spirit does in anybody's life is convict. You understand that? Let me say it again, just so you get it real good. The very first thing the Spirit of God does in anybody's life is convict. Conviction is what draws you to God in the first place. Understand me well. I say it again. Conviction is what draws you to God in the first place. I didn't get saved because I loved the singing down at the church house. I didn't get saved because I wanted to get involved in the bus ministry down at the church house. I didn't get saved because I loved the preaching of the Word of God. I didn't get saved because I loved the preacher spitting on me from the pulpit. I didn't get saved because I wanted to get all these rules that I can't do anymore. I didn't get saved because of all those things. Listen, I got saved because I got sorry for what I was. Amen. Do you understand that? You don't get saved because you want to go to heaven when you die. You get saved because all of a sudden there is a fear of hell inside your heart. Listen, preachers don't preach this anymore. Amen. I remember on the Larry King show, and I can't preach this subject and not bring up his name, so get over it. I remember when they interviewed Joel Osteen, and they brought up the word sin. Here's what he said. Now, Larry, we don't use that word. Why? Why not? Why not use the words in the Bible? Jesus talked about hell more than He talked about heaven. Y'all okay this morning? We don't use that word. Why? Because our flesh doesn't like that word. Hey, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, man, if you say you're without sin, you know what the Bible says you are? You're a liar. Wonder how many could honestly tell me you ain't sinned this week. Come on, we all right? The first thing the Holy Spirit does is convict of sin. That night I got saved, it wasn't because I wanted to become a good church member. I didn't want to die and go to hell. Listen, without Christ, that's where you'll spend forever and ever and ever and ever. It's in a lake of fire where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hey, listen, the first thing the Holy Spirit does is convict. Look at Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. First good church service we had. Look here. Acts chapter number 2. Look with me at verse number 37. Now Peter just got done preaching. Now listen to what the crowd said. Verse 37. Y'all looking at it? Now when they heard this, they were, say that word with me, pricked where? In their heart. and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now there's the right response to preaching. And in the midnight hour, in the jail cell, when Paul and Silas begin to praise and begin to sing praises unto God, and God shook the jailhouse loose, and the jailer come and said, Men and sirs, what must I do to be saved? Listen, when we hear the preached word of God, it ought to do something in our hearts. It says, Tell me what to do to make this better. Tell me what to do to make this right. Amen. You know, truly in my heart, when I got convicted of my sin, I knew what to do. Be honest with you, I had told other people how to do it. I could tell you how to be saved. But there was something inside my heart, Brother Rusty, I wanted the preacher man. I wanted the preacher man that had preached the gospel to me. I wanted the preacher man that had come and got me and put me on a bus when I was a little boy. I wanted the man of God to pray with me. It was just something about it. I'm glad my question was, what shall I do? Let me ask you a question. What shall you do this morning? Amen. When the Holy Spirit comes. Hey, listen, when you sit in the pew and you grip the back of that bench and you thinking, boy, if they'll sing another verse, I'll go. And you keep on and you keep on and you don't go. Preacher asks, if you're not so sure you're saved, would you slip up your hand so I can pray for you? And you raise that hand week after week after week and you walk out of here and then on Monday it doesn't bother you anymore. You know what that is? That was conviction on Sunday, but you just right back to the flesh on Monday. And what you need to do is give in to that Holy Spirit of conviction. Amen. Listen now, he doesn't just convict at salvation. He convicts all the time. Amen. Does the Holy Ghost ever get on you? Come on, talk to me. Does the Holy Ghost ever get after you? Driving down the road? When you get cut off in traffic? When you answer that telemarketing phone call? I used to, and the Lord convicted me about it. I used to tell them people off. I vented on them. They were in another state. They didn't have a clue who I was. They didn't know I was Pastor Eddie White. All they knew is I was another name on the list for them to call. So, buddy, I just get in the flesh, tell them all off. They say, sir, we're sorry to bother you. Have a good, no, I ain't done with you. And the Holy Spirit goes, that ain't right. Y'all, are y'all listening to me? You just messed up. You ever had the Holy Spirit crawl up next to you and say, you need to apologize? Come on. Hey, it's not just something he does at salvation. If you were convicted at salvation and hadn't been convicted since, I'd be worried. Amen. He's our schoolmaster, buddy. He's the one that follows us around and says, I know he comforts, I know he leads, I know he guides, I know all those things, but number one, he convicts. That's his job. He is the Lord's bulldog. He's the one that barks at you when something ain't right. Amen? Amen. You ever got around a conversation and something inside your heart said, you shouldn't be listening to this? You ever had a phone call and you thought, I shouldn't be talking to this person, I shouldn't listen to what they got to say? You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. And what we need to do as Christians, if you're saved, you need to allow Him to do His job. Amen. You allow Him to do His job and you do your job, you'll be all right. Amen. Well, what's His job? His job's to tell you what's wrong. Well, what's my job? Obey what He says. Amen. Amen? We okay? The Holy Spirit, number one, convicts. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you responded to preaching? In a positive way. How long has it been since you heard a message that did something in your heart and you did something about it? Well, it got quiet. It got quiet. One preacher said, do you expect people on the altar every time you preach? I do. I do. Amen. 9 times out of 10, it's me who needs it the most. You all right? Brother, when Brother Fisher got through on Thursday night this year, oh, Lord, find me a place to pray. Yeah. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Yeah. How long has it been since preaching had an effect on you in one way, shape, or form? Amen. Did you know you can get to a point in your Christian life where it doesn't faze you anymore? Some of you have heard me for so long. I've become to a gets come to a point where I sound to you like Charlie Brown's school teacher. Wah, 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 wah.
Amen, brother.
Are you listening?
Yes, brother.
Amen.
I remember when you sat on the edge of your seat.
Yes, brother.
I remember when you were hungry for the Word of God. I remember when you said, "Preacher, why did you stop?"
Yeah, preacher. Amen.
And now you're looking at your watch and wondering if I ever will.
Yeah.
Amen. We okay this morning?
Yes.
How long's it been since the preaching affected you in some way, shape, or form? Eric Capace said this, and I questioned him about it afterward. He said he made up his mind. He grew up in a Christian school, and he made up his mind in a chapel service one day as a high school student. He said, "I will never listen to preaching that I don't let it affect me in some, that I don't make some decision for my life." That's what he said. I asked him, we went to eat afterwards. I said, "Did you mean that?" He said, "With all my heart." And he started naming messages he had heard me preach and told me the decisions that he had made. I thought, wow. Well, that's a pretty good deal to make with yourself, isn't it? Every time I hear preaching, I'm going to let it affect me some way in a positive manner. Amen? But to get that positive, it may be negative. You can't preach the Bible and preach positive all the time. Well, all right, some of y'all need to catch up on your sleep when you get home. Amen? Wake up this morning. I said, number one, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. And I know this is not shouting ground right here, but we ought to be thankful that He does.
Amen.
Amen. It, no telling where you'd be if it hadn't wasn't for the Holy Spirit working in your life. The bad decisions that you would have made, I guarantee you, your homes wouldn't be intact. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit yanking the reins back every now and then, going, "Oh boy, oh, 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 wrong way." Amen. If it wasn't for Him snatching you back every now and then, shutting your mouth every now and then. Yeah. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, if it goes through my mind, it comes out my mouth." You're lying. You don't cuss in front of your mama, do you? Are you listening? You don't say everything that goes through your mind. You better let the Holy Spirit guide you and let His convicting power work. When He says, "Hush, hush." Amen. First thing He does is convict. Number two, John chapter number 3. Go back. Most of y'all know this story very well. This is where old Nicodemus hears the gospel. He comes to the Lord in the middle of the night. John chapter 3 and verse number 5. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of what? The Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Listen carefully. I said the Holy Spirit, the first thing He does is convict. Number two, the second thing He'll do in your life is bring about the new birth. Are you listening? Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved. Let me say it again. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved. It is a spiritual birth. It is not a natural birth. That's why Jesus is trying to explain this thing to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is just like anybody else would be when Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Up right around verse number, was it 3? Where was it? Anyway, Jesus told him, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus, just like me or you, had said, "How can I enter in the second time in my mother's womb?" And Jesus said, "Wait a minute. Nicodemus, you don't get it. The birth I'm talking about is not natural. It's not natural. It's not a natural birth. It's not a woman in labor having a baby. It's not a natural birth. What I'm talking to you about is a spiritual birth. What I'm talking about is not an outward thing, but it's an inward thing." He said, "Nicodemus, ye must be born again." By the way, joining the church is not a spiritual thing. Amen. Just being baptized is not a spiritual thing. Are you listening? Being baptized is something we do because we're led by the Spirit, because we've been birthed by the Spirit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to heaven because I joined the church and have been baptized. I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of church members who don't make it.
Amen.
Are you listening? Let me say it again. Do not bank on your church membership. Do not bank on your church membership. I rode that thing for years and years and years and years. If I'd have died, I'd have went straight to a devil's hell. And I'm afraid there are many of you, or some of you, that church membership is all you've got. Now, I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. If you're saved, I can't anyway. If you're saved, you know you're saved. If you put your faith in Christ, you know where your faith's at, and I can't shake it. Amen. Wouldn't try if I could. But you know whether or not you're born again. I don't buy all this stuff. Well, I don't know if I'm saved. Yeah, you do. How do you know, preacher? Because I know. I know. I know when I got saved. I can tell you about it. I can take you there right now. If the tree's still standing, I'll show you right where I knelt. It's vivid. It's vivid. It's been almost 27 years, but it's vivid just like it was yesterday. Now, there have been days I didn't feel saved. I don't base my salvation on what I feel. I base it on what that book says. But I'm glad, thank God, there are days when I can feel it. Amen. I don't always feel saved, but I am always saved. Why? The Holy Spirit birthed me into the family of God. We receive the Spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We talked about that the other night when we said the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption. Are y'all okay? He is active in the new birth. He convicts the sinner of his sin. Amen. That conviction is what brought me. You understand that? I got saved because I'm selfish. You got saved because you're selfish. I didn't get saved because I wanted to glorify and honor God. I didn't get saved because I wanted God to be pleased with me. I didn't get saved because I wanted to do God's will for my life. I got saved because I did not want to go to hell. Are you understand that? You know what brought me to that knowledge? It was the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And then I responded to that convicting power by saying just what these said in Acts chapter number 2. What shall I do? God, I don't want to die and go to hell. I remember knocking on Brother Jay's door in the wee hours of the morning. He came to the door and I was crying. He said, "What's the matter, Doc?" I said, "Brother Jay, I'm going to hell." He said, "Not tonight, you ain't." Amen. He said, "No, not tonight, you ain't." He said, "Let's get down here under this tree right here." And God took care of business right there. Amen. And it was all through the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that convicted me. It wasn't gospel singing. I wasn't in a gospel meeting. I wasn't at a wild party, but I was at a New Year's Eve party. We were singing bluegrass music. And God used something in a song to bring back to my memory how I was raised, what I was taught, what I'd heard preached all my life. And for the first time in my life, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, without a shadow of a doubt, you ain't got what you think you've got. And out of fear for my life, until this day I truly believe, had I not gave in to that convicting power right in front of all my friends, right in front of my family, if I had not gave in to that convicting power, Brother Freddie, I don't believe I'd live to see daylight. I truly don't. I don't know how I'd have died, but I don't believe I'd live. It was that real. Have you got a point in your life where the convicting power of the Holy Spirit was that real? Where you realize something's got to be done in here. Something's got to be. This just going to church ain't cutting it. This just singing these hymns ain't cutting it. Doing what I try to do for the Lord, putting tithes in the offering plate, it just ain't working for me anymore. I got to do something more. Have you come to that point? That's the first thing he does is convict. The second thing he does is birth. That's the second thing he does in your life, in order. Number three, go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Y'all still doing all right? Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm going to cut this short. Quit panicking. Ephesians chapter number 1. Would you look with me in verse number 3? Now, in our area, be careful right here. Please, don't be offended. I'm trying to give you the truth of the Word of God. In our area, in the South, there are so many different factions, or so many different denominations, if you will. In this area, you either grew up a Baptist, a Pentecostal, a Methodist. Are you with me? Church of God, Church of Christ. There are several predominant ones. Many times we get people come to the altar and they say, "I've been saved before, but I need to get saved again." Somebody has taught you wrong. Look what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm going to show you the third thing the Holy Spirit will do in your life, what He does. Number 1, He convicts. Number 2, He takes part in the new birth. Number 3, look at it very carefully. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 13. The Bible said, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." I said He convicts, then He bursts, and then He seals. If you are saved, truly born again. Listen, if just by word, I could say I got saved twice. But did I get saved twice? No, I didn't. I went to the altar on a double dog dare when I was 6 years old. I had a deacon nail on one side of me, another deacon on the other side, mama behind me. This deacon said, "Say this." I said that. This deacon said, "Say this." I said that. I repeated everything they said. They said, "Okay, you're saved." Mama shouted. They gave me a Bible. The preacher signed it. They baptized me. I'm in. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, Brother Freddie. I didn't say 6 year olds can't get saved. Happens around here all the time. But I'm telling you, at that point in my life, I was not being dealt with by the Holy Spirit. I was being dealt with by Roger Bush, who dared me to go to the altar. I'm just being honest with you. "I dare you to go to the altar." I said, "I ain't going." He said, "I double dog dare you. I got to go." I mean, I ain't heard the preaching. We're sitting there playing hangman all through church. Y'all all right? And I rode that false profession for many, 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 many years. And then on January the 1st of 1980, whatever it was, the Holy Spirit convicted me and I responded to that thing. But when I went to the altar this time, which wasn't an altar, was a pine tree, but an altar's anywhere you kneel before God. And I knelt before God this time. I knew very well what I was doing there. I knew why I was there. I was in deep despair for my soul, and I meant business with God. And I got saved. Now listen, you can get so wicked in your heart you don't feel saved anymore. Don't mean you need to get saved again. It means you need to go back to that convicting power of the Holy Spirit and get right with God. Amen. We're not trying to confuse anybody this morning, but you ought to know. You ought to know. You ought to get that thing settled right. There's a man sitting in our church this morning. Wouldn't call his name for nothing. Sat down in my office. Said, "Preacher, I don't even know if I'm saved. We've been talking about other problems." Then this came out. He said, "I don't even know if I'm saved." I said, "There's your problem. Get that thing settled. If you don't have that settled, you ain't got nothing to build on. If you don't even know you're saved, how can you work on a relationship? If you don't even know you're saved, how can you work on your church membership? Man, you got how can you work on living right and doing right? Man, you got to get that foundation settled first." I said, "I'm not telling you to do it right here in this office." I said, "You know about as much of this Bible as I know. You go home, you figure this thing out. You let me know the verdict."
That's right, brother.
He came back to church. He said, "I just want you to know that's settled."
Yeah, brother.
I said, "Which way did it go?" He said, "I'm saved."
Yeah, brother.
Amen. I've been at points in my life I didn't feel saved. I've been in places where I've been depressed. Down, out. Didn't even care if I lived or died. Are y'all listening? That don't mean I'm no longer saved. It means I'm operating in the flesh and not in the spirit. Amen. Somebody, I don't know, I may not even finish this message. Somebody ought to get on this altar this morning and get that thing settled. This is the order in which I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches, the Holy Spirit works in your life. He first convicts, then He saves, then He seals. Thank God for that sealing. How can I undo what God did? If I could lose my salvation, and I'm just reason with me, why would God save me in the first place? Does He know the end from the beginning? Does He know every time that I would backslide on Him? Does He know every time that I would walk away from Him? Did He know? Well, if He knew what a mess I was going to be, why'd He save me to start with? Amen. And if there's a sin I can commit to get me out of God's family, which one is it? Which one is it? the eternal security of the believers is vital to our faith and our doctrine.
Amen.
Amen. How can I have faith in a God who can't hold on to me?
Yeah,
I don't have him. He has me.
Yes, sir.
He's not in my hand. I'm in his.
Yeah.
We all right this morning?
That's right.
Thank God I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm glad it's not up to me to keep it.
Yeah.
I'd lose it.
Yeah.
If salvation could be lost, I'd lose. You can't keep up with your cell phone. Much less y'all all right? Much less your salvation, you can't find your stinking car keys, man. Hallelujah. It's not up to me to hang on to him, but it's up to him to hang on to me. God knows sometimes I'm a handful, and bet you are too. Y'all all right? Woo! Fourthly, I'm going to try to hurry. I said, number one, he convicts of sin, right? Number two, he births. Number three, he seals. Now watch this. Number four, look at Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24. Here, I'll just read this. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. He said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Listen, I'm talking about the order in what the Holy Spirit does in and through our lives. He convicts, he saves, he seals, but then he empowers for service.
Amen.
Amen. I can't serve God without him.
Amen.
And you can't neither.
Amen.
Listen, I grew up in this frame of thought. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't wear this, you can't wear that, you can't go here, you can't go there, you can't listen to this, you can't do that. Most of us did. Right? That seemed too big a chore for me. Still does. How many times have you had the thought, made the statement, "I can't do this"? Have you ever witnessed to somebody and say, here's their excuse for not being saved? "If I trust Christ, I'm afraid I can't live it."
Amen.
Here's the truth.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You can't live it.
That's right, bro.
And neither can I. And neither can the Pope, as far as that goes.
Yeah,
there's never been one who can't. Those Old Testament saints tried it and tried it and tried it and tried it and tried it, and they had to sacrifice again and again and again and again and again. But when Jesus came and sent the Holy Spirit, are you listening to me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank God he put something down on the inside. Amen. You know what? My first thing out of my mouth when the Lord laid teaching Sunday school on my heart was, "I can't teach. I can't teach." And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, "I've been doing it a long time, trust me."
Yeah.
Then God called me to preach. Man, you don't understand. I didn't wear a shirt and tie to church. I wore overall.
Amen.
Husqvarna boots, Wolverine chainsaw hat. Y'all listening? I wasn't no preacher. I said, "I can't preach." And the Lord said, "I've been doing that a long time too."
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's not you. You've got to get past that. It's not you, because you can't. But I can do all things.
Yes,
through Christ, which strengthens me. You know how? By his Spirit that lives inside me. I can't say no to sin, but he can. I can't stand up for Jesus, but he can. I can't even get a prayer through, but he can. Amen. He empowers us to serve him. I'm telling you, that's the fourth thing he does in your life. He convicts you, he saves you, he seals you, and then he gives you the juice you need to get the job done for him. Amen. Listen, I never had a dad growing up. I got married, I didn't know how to be a daddy. And I wasn't worth a flip, to be honest with you, till after I got saved. She kept a suitcase right up under the bed. She about ready to go at any time. Couldn't blame her if she had it. I didn't know how to be a daddy. Then God gave me a beautiful little girl. And then a little boy. And then another beautiful little girl. And I had to say, "God, I ain't got a clue what I'm doing." But because I had him living in me, God allowed me to raise him kids. And God allowed me to be her husband. It ain't me, it's him. She tells me all the time how wonderful I am, and I agree. But it's not him. I mean, it's not me. It's him. Anything you do that's right, it's not you. It's the Lord. Aren't you glad? He didn't just save you, he moved in. Amen. Aren't you glad that he didn't just say, okay, you can go to heaven when you die? But he said, hey, I'm going to give you what you need till you get there. Amen. He empowers us for service. He bears witness to the truth of the gospel. In John chapter 15 and verse number 26, he said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. What are you saying? We said this the other night, and I'm not going to stay here, but just a second, and we'll go. Here's what he does. He reveals this book to you. You don't need a Bible that's written so you can understand it. You need the understander living inside you.
That's right.
Amen. Hey, man, before I got saved, I mean, I grew up in a Christian school. We had to memorize Scripture by the chapter. I didn't understand a lick of it. No wonder I didn't read the Bible. It didn't make a lick of sense to me. I didn't need an NIV. I needed the Holy Spirit. I didn't need a New American Standard or a New English or a... Man, they got the Bible of the Month Club out now, I think. I mean, they're spitting them out everywhere. Man, this old King James Bible will open up to you if you have the Spirit of Truth living in you.
Yes,
amen. I remember after I got saved, my wife, and for Father's Day, I got a Scofield Bible, study Bible. Still got it, covers falling all off of it. But I remember reading that Bible and going, oh, wow. What's that mean? And running them references in there. Oh, Scripture, I'd read another verse and it explains. I thought, man, that's the coolest thing. I never knew the Bible was that way. Amen. You know what that is? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Amen. Lastly, and I'm done. I'll quit. I'm going to leave a couple out. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17. Here's what he does. The Holy Spirit is still, this will kind of be along the line with number one and number two. He's still inviting sinners to come to Christ. The Bible said, Revelation 22 and verse number 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. What does the Holy Spirit do? Be careful some of the stuff you see. Just because it looks appealing don't mean he's in it. Understand what he does. He convicts. He saves. He seals. He gives you power to live for him. He bears the truth of the Word of God. And he invites sinners to come to Christ. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Miss Janice, if y'all come. You say, Brother Eddie, I wanted you to run up and down the aisles and click your heels over your head. That'd been all right, but wasn't what God wanted this morning. How about that spirit thing? How are you doing? How long has it been since you responded to the preaching of the Word of God? Are you sure you've got that seal of promise? You know for a fact if you died right now, heaven would be your home. I'd get that thing worked out this morning. You say, I'm a member of the church. Remember what we said, that don't cut it. I don't cut it. I give. That doesn't matter. You can't buy your way into heaven. Can't work your way there. Can't buy your way there because it's already been paid for at Calvary. Let's bow our heads this morning. Nobody looking around. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder this morning if there might be one here today. I said, Preacher, I'm not sure. The way you talked, it sounds like you can know. Well, the Bible said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Friend, you can know this morning. If you're not 100% sure where you'd spend eternity if you died right now, I'd just like to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand, put it right back down. Say, Preacher, pray for me. God bless you, sis. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. Anybody else? I need to get this thing settled about my soul. Please remember me. Preacher, I know I'm saved. There ain't no doubt in my mind. If I die right now, I know I'm going to heaven. But boy,
I hadn't responded to the Spirit of God in a long time. Preacher, pray I'd allow him to deal with my heart and be obedient to what he's leading me to do. Anybody like that? Several hands this morning. God bless you. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for what you've allowed him to do in our lives. I'm glad you sent him my way that New Year's Eve. Lord, convicted me of my sin. Lord, drew me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, sealed me under the day of redemption. Lord, equipping me and living inside me, allowing me to do what I do. And God, I just want to thank you for that. Lord, there are those this morning, God, that can't say that for sure. Lord, they need to get this settled in their heart. I pray you'd help them to do it today. Lord, you saw every hand, you know every heart. Just deal with us accordingly. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. We'll give you glory for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.